Good afternoon, everyone. I'm here to talk about the fourth verse, my God, why have you abandoned me? So before I start, let me go back through the Old Testament, you know, history, and start off with the Trinity. You know, the Trinity stands for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the term tri, meaning three, and unity, and the tri plus unity meaning Trinity. So from the beginning, we see that God as a Trinity. In Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And some of the words from the scripture that show the God as a Trinity, one expression that Jesus said in John 10:30, I and the Father are one. And another expression that Jesus said was in John 14:9, He who has seen me has seen the Father. And another expression that in John 12:45, by Jesus, He who beholds me beholds the one who sent me. And in Matthew 1:20, it stated that, you know, his father heard a voice, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." And this is to Mary, when an angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God." So when John the Baptist was baptizing in the Jordan River, he saw Jesus coming towards him and declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." A foundational doctrine of the Christian faith is that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ paid the penalty for the sin of mankind, and that without this act of love by the Son of God, humanity would have no hope of life after death. So the designation of the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, reflects back to the time when Israel was delivered from ancient Egypt under the direction of Moses. Before the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn, the Israelite families were instructed to kill a lamb and brush some of its blood on the top and sides of the door frames of their dwellings. The lamb that was slain for this purpose was called the Passover lamb, and the observance of this ceremony was known as Passover. During the Passover in Egypt, God was willing to accept the blood of the Passover lamb on the door frames of the Israelites, dwelling in place of the blood of their firstborn. The firstborn of Israelites who rejected the blood of the lamb would not have been spared from the death. So the blood of this lamb enabled the Israelites to escape the penalty that was coming upon the land of the Egypt. So Passover was to become an annual observance in Israel so that they would remember how God delivered them from death. So Jesus Christ became the Passover lamb for the Christian church. The Apostle Paul taught in Corinthians 5:7, "For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." So Jesus Christ is the propitiation or atoning sacrifice for our sins. Without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we have no forgiveness. So in Genesis, gives the account of the first sin by mankind, specifically Adam and Eve eating the forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God had warned them that the death penalty would be the consequence if they disobeyed. Something very significant took place once they yielded to the serpent's subtlety. not only would they have to die at some point, but they were thrust from the Garden of Eden, and angels were placed at the entrance so that they could not return. Access to the tree of eternal life was no longer possible. Their relationship with God was altered dramatically. Sin had entered the human realm and had created a separation from God. So sin is the antithesis of God's perfection, you know, a righteous character. It burnt him, a horrible sin on the beautiful creation he made. So sin is the cause of pain, suffering, and all evils in this world. And the just and righteous God cannot accept or coexist with sin. So this separation from the presence of God is highlighted through the ritual ceremonies that were performed by the priesthood at the tabernacle, the ancient Israel's central place of worship. No one was permitted to come into God's presence, represented by the most holy place within the tabernacle, except for the high priest once a year. So God reveals the meaning of the spiritual counterpart to Christians in Hebrews, the Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. So the way into God's presence had not been opened since Adam and Eve sinned. So how could the breach between God and mankind be healed? How could humans once again have a relationship with the Holy God and come directly into his company? How would we ever be able to become his spiritual sons and daughters and call him Father? God will not abide with unforgiven sin. A just God cannot simply overlook the deadly disease of sin. He must remove it and cleanse us from its evil effects. This is why the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was necessary, for him to pay the penalty for our sins and to become our Savior. So the Gospel contains information about how humanity can be forgiven once again and once again walk with God on a daily basis and receive the promise of life after death. The Apostle Paul explains that the foundation of the Christian message is one of reconciliation. He states in Corinthians 5:18-19, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus and given us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses on them, as has committed us to the world of reconciliation." So the plan for the human salvation is God's. The method that he chose for the removal of our sins was that a member of the God family, the Word who became flesh, would come to earth as a human being, Jesus Christ, and die for our sins. So Paul expresses this profound act of mercy in Philippians 2, I think chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. Again, for God, as in stated in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God loved so us, so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that who believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." John further wrote in John chapter 4, verses 9 to 10, "In this love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, and we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the sacrifice for our sins." Jesus was totally committed to being the sacrifice to show his love for us as well. As he taught on the night of the last Passover, he kept with his disciples before offering himself as that Passover lamb, the perfect sacrifice for sin. "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." John also wrote that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in John chapter 3, verse 16, "By this we now know, by this we know love, because he has laid down his life for us." Jesus was so intent on offering himself totally and completely while on the cross that he even refused to drink a mild potion to dull the pain of crucifixion. Out of love for us, he gave his entire life fully and totally as an offering for sin. He was willing to suffer and die for us so that there would be no compromise with the enormity of sin. God the Father then accepted this incredibly selfless sacrifice of his only begotten Son who had never sinned. So God will now allow us to come into his presence if we acknowledge and accept what his Son did for us. If we acknowledge our sins, are truly repentant, and are willing to forgive others, then God promises that he will forgive us and give us the gift of Holy Spirit through baptism and the laying on the laying of hands. If we do these things, he will then choose to remember our sins no more. So just like the Passover lamb offered, Jesus was offered as the precious blood of Jesus was offered, you know, as a man without sin, and that, you know, and yet because he had been tempted many times, but yet he did not succumb to temptation. So he entered once for all into the sanctuary, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, thus obtaining the eternal redemption for all of us who believe in him. Jesus at the cross suffered the pain as any human being can. Jesus Christ was made sin for us, a curse for us. And at the moment, you know, when he was on the cross with all the, you know, weaknesses of human beings, all the pain and suffering, he said, my God, why have you abandoned me? Okay, thank you.